Thank you for joining us today at Campbell Bible Church. It's a blessing to be here with you today and to worship together around God's Word as we commemorate the life of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Please open up your Bibles with me today to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, if you're using the Pew Bibles today, that is page 1453. For everyone else, John chapter 3. Now, we have been studying through the life of Jesus Christ. Our sermon series is called, Do You Know My Jesus? And every week, we look at an attribute of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, we are deviating from our chronological study to consider Jesus' death and resurrection. Today's attribute of Jesus is, my Jesus loves me. Did you know that Jesus loves you? There is an old children's hymn called, Jesus Loves Me. You may be familiar with it. It goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us. The very fact that we hold commemorations for Jesus' death and his resurrection identifies that Jesus loves us. Now consider the sacrifices that Jesus has made for us. Jesus is the Son of God. He is holy. He is perfect. He existed in heaven with God the Father and had no struggles and no pain. And yet he purposely came to this earth to be born as a man, to go through the same struggles in life that we do, to sacrifice everything in life, and to suffer unimaginable pain because he loves mankind. He loves his creation. His very existence on this earth paints a vivid picture of love for us. If Jesus did not love us, why in the world would he even come to this earth? I want to highlight a passage this morning from the book of John, chapter 3, and we are going to start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'll look at the end of verse 17 here. Jesus was sent so that the world, through Jesus, might be saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. All right, what is sin? Now, sin is when we commit a transgression against God. It is when we do anything in thought, word, or deed that contradicts God's perfect and holy character. God has a moral law, and anytime we disobey it, we commit an act that the Bible calls sin. Now, sin is always an act of transgression against the holy God of the Bible. Sin always affects God. You cannot sin without it being against God. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 4. And this is speaking of God. It says, against you, or we could say against God, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Now, let me give you a picture of how some of sin is identified. Part of God's moral law is what we know of as the Ten Commandments. I'm sure most of you know at least one of the ten, such as keep God your only God, don't make idols, Do not take God's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie about your neighbor. Do not covet. Now, what happens when we break just one of these laws anytime in our lifetime? Well, the Bible tells us in James chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, God's standard is this: if you commit one transgression, one sin, you disobey God one time, one transgression against his holy law during your entire lifetime, you are guilty of all of the law. Now, that's quite a standard. That's a higher standard than anything else here on earth. There's no curve to be graded on. It's based on your actions for your entire lifetime. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sin is what separates us from God. And because God is perfectly just, he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. So there is a consequence to our sin. What is the consequence? The consequence for sin is an eternal separation from God in a place that the Bible calls hell. However, Jesus made a way so that anyone who would like to join him in heaven can do so and escape the anguish of being separated from God. Look back with me at our text at John chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Even though God is the one who is being sinned against, he still loves mankind so much that he provided a way for our sin to be forgiven forever. And he did that through his only Son, Jesus Christ. Now again, God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but to save it. So how does Jesus save us from being separated from God? Well, because we have sinned against a holy, perfect, and infinite God, either a finite person, which is all of mankind, everyone here on earth, we have a beginning and we have an ending, so we are finite. Either a finite person must pay for their own sins for an infinite amount of time, or an infinite and holy person, such as Jesus, must pay for all of mankind's sins one time. Now, there is no other option of forgiveness. We cannot pay our sin debt on our own. Only Jesus can pay for it, and he did so by dying in our place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God sent Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. Think of the sacrifice. If you had one child, would you be willing to give that child up to sacrifice for someone that you don't even know, or someone that doesn't even know you. There are no other ways to heaven. There are no back doors. There's no way to die for a time and be prayed in later. According to the Bible, there is but one way through Jesus. In fact, Jesus tells us this in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father. So no one can approach God in heaven without having their sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. How do we know that God the Father is in heaven? Well, Jesus told us in that famous text that we all know of as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was giving an example to his disciples on how to pray, and many of you may remember how this text begins. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said in this manner, "Therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now you might remember from the King James, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we know that Jesus Christ loved mankind just as much as God, that he was willing to sacrifice his innocent life for the payment of mankind's sin. And how do we know that? Because here in our text, from John chapter 3, this is not someone writing about what Jesus is doing or saying. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking about the love that he has for all of us. So much so that he was willing to come to earth and suffer struggles, hunger, and anguish, willing to love others and teach them while they spat on him and hated him, willing to sacrifice his time and efforts to help others who wanted nothing more than to see him die, willing to put himself on a cross to take the burdens of sin off of you and me and take them upon himself instead, willing to go through the pain and agony of torture and death to save people who did not even know him, and many still despised him. Many look at Jesus and say that he was just a good man, or maybe a prophet or a teacher. But Jesus was so much more. A good man could not have taken mankind's sin upon himself, neither could a prophet or a teacher. Only a completely innocent and perfect, infinite being could do that. When Jesus went to the cross, it was not simply his death that cleansed us from our sins, because it was not the act of dying. It was the taking on of our sins. Again, because God is holy and just and perfect, he is without sin. No sin can be in his presence, which means that our sin needs to be forgiven before we reach heaven. If we die and stand before God without Jesus' forgiveness, God's judgment, or what the Bible refers to as God's wrath, will pour out onto you. You will be condemned for eternity, separated from God. When Jesus was on the cross, he took our place, and God poured his wrath for your sins upon Jesus. Now, when you do something that you know is a sin, or something naughty, think about whenever you've done something, whether you've done something physically or you've done something, maybe even you've thought through something that you know was naughty that you shouldn't have thought of. What happens at that point or after that point is a lot of times we feel emotional. Sometimes it's a feeling of hurt. Sometimes it's a feeling of disgust with yourself. Now imagine Jesus taking your lifetime of those hurts, and not just for you, but but for all of mankind upon him. All of that pain, all of that anguish, Jesus took upon himself to pay our sin debt, to pay our crime, and then stood before the holy judge of heaven, God the Father, who passed his judgment on our sins and poured his wrath on Jesus instead of on you and on me. That agony of Jesus on the cross was not the torture of his body or the nailing of his hands or his feet to that wooden cross, but it was the paying of the sin debt. Now, if Jesus had just died, this would be a nice story of someone good dying for a cause. But Jesus' death is not the end. Through the power of God, Jesus arose from the grave 3 days later. And it's important that Jesus died, and it's important that he took our sins as his punishment instead. But if Jesus had not risen from the grave, he would not have been God in the flesh. He would not really have the power to take away our sins. So yes, celebrate Jesus' death on the cross and the payment that he made for us. But also celebrate that he was the Son of God, and through God's power has been raised from the dead and is now in heaven with God. We know that Jesus saves. But who does he save? Look back with me at our text in chapter 3. Look down to verse 36. Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, the door of opportunity is open for every person on earth to have their sins forgiven by Jesus. Jesus died for everyone. Everyone can take that opportunity if they want it. But it has to be purposed. You have to want it. And it's not just having a knowledge about Jesus as if you believe that he exists and that he is the Son of God. And we see throughout the teachings of the New Testament that even the devil himself and demons believe in Jesus. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well." Even the demons believe and tremble. So that means that simple knowledge does not save you. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he has paid your sin debt, that he has risen from the grave. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When we believe that something is absolutely true, without a doubt, our natural response is to back it. We tell others about this truth. We invest our thoughts and our lives, and many times even our purpose, into that truth. Now understand, when we are focused on this truth, we don't try it out for a time. When we realize that something is true, we have a tendency to jump all in. And we say, you know what, I never realized this was the truth. From now on, I'm going to continue thinking this way. I'm going to hide this This thought, this knowledge that I have now in my mind, in my heart, I'm going to remember this and move forward. We don't try that truth out for a time and see how that truth profits us and then throw it by the wayside and just ignore that truth and move forward and do whatever we want. We look at that truth and we say, well, this is true. Therefore, I need to embrace it. Now, Jesus doesn't just want you to acknowledge him. He wants you to back him. He wants you to invest in him. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about investing in an idea or even in a church. And I'm definitely not talking about money. Money cannot buy you happiness, and it cannot buy you a ticket to the pearly gates of heaven. Don't ever respond if someone tells you, give money to my ministry and your sins will be forgiven and you can go to heaven. Don't ever respond to someone who says, give me money and this will allow you to know Jesus Christ more and to be able to go to heaven, because it does not say that in God's word. Nowhere in scripture does it say, give me money and then you can go to heaven. A lot of people say that today. It's nowhere to be found in the Bible. Now, I'm talking about you deciding to purposely place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and making him important enough in your life that you submit to what his teachings are in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God has given us this gift by his grace. We cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. We can only accept this free gift and choose to follow Jesus the way that he tells us. Now, what's the process? How does one go about accepting Jesus as their Savior? Well, it's simple. You pray. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. You can pray out loud, or you can whisper prayer, or you can pray from your mind to God. Simply admit to God that you're a sinner. This is us coming before God humbly, acknowledging that we are not always right because he is, and because he is perfect. We admit we are a sinner. And then we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we repent of them. And repenting is when we are moving in one direction. And when we acknowledge that the way we are going is the wrong way, we turn around and head the other way. Just like when we're driving down the road and we realize, you know what, I'm going in the wrong direction. What do? We get off on the next exit and we turn around and we head in the other direction. When we're going through life and we acknowledge something as truth, we turn around and we start heading towards the truth instead. Anytime we are faced with truth and we identify it as good truth, we stop what is false and we move forward with that truth. And that is the process of repentance. Now, if we turn around and we head in the other direction, that means that we lose it, we leave it. We let everything go behind that is our old way of thinking, our old sins. We identify, hey, this sin is bad. I need to not sin, because as I sin, I am sinning against God. We leave it and we turn around and we start following God instead. So we admit we're a sinner. We ask forgiveness of our sins. We repent of our sins and give up what we know now is no longer good, and we ask Jesus to be our Savior. That's it. Now, if any of you today do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't really know Jesus, If you're not 100% sure that when you die, that you'd be in heaven today, please come and see me. Please come and see me, or afterwards, if you'd like, you can email me or call the office. I would love to talk to you. I would love to take you through the Bible and encourage you to follow the truth of God's word. Now, if on your own you have prayed to Jesus, please let me know. I would love to pray for you in your journey to knowing God better. I would love to encourage you and offer any help that I can to help you learn more about Jesus. Putting your faith in Jesus Christ is a choice, and it's your choice. It's the first step in an amazing journey. And I would encourage you today to consider making the choice to follow Jesus, because he will change your life. Search for the truth. Search for Jesus. Jesus loves you. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that we call Easter, or many refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, the day that we commemorate your resurrection. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for coming to this earth, for living some 33 years or so on this earth, for living every day sacrificially for us, not sinning, and teaching us throughout your life about the love of God and what your purpose was for us. Lord, help us to follow your teachings. Lord Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross. I thank you for shedding your blood and for taking on my sins onto you, for taking mankind's sins onto you. Lord, I thank you that you open up the door for an opportunity for us to accept you as Lord and personal Savior. And everyone, every single person in the world has that opportunity. No matter how many wrongs that they have done, no matter how many times they've turned to you and yet turned away, they still have an opportunity to come back. They have an opportunity to turn away from their sins and instead repent and follow you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that after your death, that you, as the Son of God, through the power of God, laid in a grave for 3 days, but then arose. I thank you, Lord God, that you came back to life, and in that life you continue to teach so many different things and showing people the holes in your hands, the proof that it is you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you left this earth to prepare a place for us so that one day as we pass on, that we can be in heaven with you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us over and over and over again to accept you as our Lord and personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would open up that door yet again today for any that are hearing this message that do not know you. I pray, Lord, that they would turn to the truth. Help them to seek out the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would be a blessing and a help to them. I pray that you would encourage us today. Help us even to go out today and continue to spread your joy and your love to this world. Help us to love others as you have loved us, and help us not to give up in that. Lord, we thank you for your death, your burial, your resurrection. We thank you for your love. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to shower us with your love and your goodness, as the Bible promises that you will. I pray, Lord, that we would turn to you. Thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.